Welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 91. It is currently a beautiful Sunday afternoon, almost.
Morning for me.
Morning for you. June 11th. The day after the Champions League final. As you can tell, hopefully maybe a little bit, I am a little sick, congested. So this will definitely hinder my enthusiasm to talk about the Champions League final, and that is the only reason that my enthusiasm will be hindered, because obviously I really love Manchester City. We're going to talk about that. End of the season. We'll talk about some Saudi news, some transfers. We've got some big Messi news, and a couple retirements. I feel like end of an era all around the world football right now, right?
I'd say so.
Champions League final.
Overall, what did you think of the game?
I thought it was a closer game than I expected. I texted you before the game. I told you I thought City was pretty much going to just destroy them. But it was much closer. I have to give props to the Inter game plan. They really stuck to it. City kind of looked like a little bit enamored. But just no finishing. Just no finishing. They had their chances. Inter had their chances. Even they were putting... They were putting pressure in that the end of the game, maybe the last 15, 20 minutes. Lukaku strikes again. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Meg Thee Stallion broke up with that guy right after the game. I'm telling you.
Oh, my God. The amount of memes that came after that because of Meg.
I mean, listen, him playing for Italy and doing that on the biggest stage, he's going to get... some brutal racism, which is extremely unfortunate because we do not wish that upon anybody. I hope he's okay, honestly. But yeah, the performance was not good. Man came on at the 55th minute and then just proceeded to troll world football while everybody's watching him. Ederson had like his best game ever, I think. Like, you know, I don't like Ederson. I didn't think he's a really good goalkeeper. But he had a really good game. He had some brilliant saves, especially in the second half. I mean, Man City kind of just looked like they got that goal. It was a good goal. Nothing crazy about it. Kind of just ball fell. Rodri had that cannon on him. You know, place it right on the right post.
Bottom right corner. Bottom left corner, sorry.
I mean, he kind of just like curved it in there a little bit. There was definitely some guys in front. It was a good goal. The ball fell right to him, right? It deflected off, and then it just kind of just like fell for him. And he did a great job finishing it. And, you know, Haaland had a chance earlier in the game. I thought he should have scored that. Onana had a great game. I wonder if a team pushes for him. But the goalkeepers played well. I mean, it was a 1-0 game. I think the last four Champions League finals have ended in 1-0 games, which is kind of surprising given, like, this was probably one of the more heavy mismatches in a final we've had in recent years. I thought Inter played great. I mean, they definitely could have pushed us to overtime. Extra time, I think. Honestly, they were purely unlucky not to get there. If any other striker is getting that chance besides Lukaku, maybe we're going to extra time. But my boy, yeah, he did not show up. Did not show up. What were your thoughts?
I think similar to you in a few ways. Well, I did well. I wasn't with you on the 4-1. I kind of told you that it was going to be a closer game than that, and I think it was. The Inter game plan, Inzaghi's game plan, sort of was executed almost to a T, but obviously there's need to be a final, the finished product to it, and that never really happened. The chances that they got, not just Lukaku, but Lautaro had one as well. Maybe two from Lautaro, where if he makes a different decision, perhaps, where it's a 1-1 game, or maybe it's a different, the game goes differently. Overall, I thought City looked very uncomfortable for a large part of this game. They didn't look like themselves.
Do you think De Bruyne leaving had an impact there?
Yeah, but not just that. I think the Inter pressure, also the game plan, kind of affected them. It didn't seem like they were playing like we've seen them play before. Like, I know De Bruyne didn't. I mean, De Bruyne was injured, so he couldn't really do much. But when he was like sort of on, we didn't really see much of him. I mean, as far as I can remember, I can't remember him have a. I think I remember one shot, but outside of that, he didn't really look like himself as well. One thing that I've noticed, the few post-match interviews that I saw, I think it was Jack Grealish mentioned, like, yeah, he was playing poor today. Rodri said the same thing. Like, I think they realized, like, okay, we're not, I mean, obviously it wasn't a pretty game, but you just got to get the win, which is the final, really. Like, finals aren't usually, like, a pretty, like, affair, right? It's always going to be a, not dirty, but, like, not as a...
It's a gritty game.
It's a gritty game, yeah.
Both teams don't want to kind of overextend. They don't want to kind of give the other team an opportunity to take advantage of them. So both teams kind of play more conservative and kind of just like feel out the game as it goes.
Exactly. The finals, like the ones we had in Qatar, like you're not going to see that too often, especially not at that level, because it's mistakes are like punished right away. You mentioned Ederson. I thought Ederson had a great game, especially the last few.
This might have been the best game I've ever watched Ederson have, to be honest. He never makes saves. He's notorious for not making any saves because City do not concede any like many chances, and they don't keep many clean sheets because Ederson just like concedes on the first good chance the other team gets, or the only good chance the other team gets. But he made like two or three big saves in the second half, near the end of the game to keep City in it.
I do have to give props to Onana as well. Obviously the Cameroon, the big bro.
I think he wants to stay.
He's definitely staying. Like there's nowhere for them to like get rid of him at this point. Because he was, I want to say, one of their best players in terms of his passing ability. Like you can see like the modern type of goalkeeper that's gonna happen. Like, I think in the future you're gonna see a lot of keepers that are similar to Onana in a sense, because just his passing ability, his passing range. He might be. I mean, we talk about Ederson and Alisson every time, but he's definitely up there with them.
I mean, I think he's probably better than Ederson. Ederson had a great game, but overall, you know, I don't think he's...
Yeah. Like, technical ability on the ball, Onana might be better. It's just kind of funny to talk about when we're talking about goalkeepers, but it's how... It's the game now, so... The modern goalkeeper is... He was almost like a forward center-back for them.
Yeah.
Like, the way... And the plays that he was doing... He was doing through balls from his own... Like, from his own box. And they were going through. So, a lot of credit to him. Kind of unfortunate with the result. I thought Barella from Inter had a great, solid game as well. Just in the midfield, kind of bringing energy. Demar,
he missed a big chance, though.
Yeah, I think he had a chance or two. I remember that volley that he kind of missed towards the end of the game. Demarco had a big chance.
Yeah.
A big one.
But, I mean, he did the most out of that chance, I think. The header for the crossbar, right? And then it just kind of came back, and they weren't able to put it in the back of the net.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunate. You're so unlucky.
Yeah, because, you know, who? Because
Lukaku stood right in front of it, that's why.
That was unfortunate because... Yeah, but that was so unfortunate, though. You can't really, like, time that, right?
Yeah. No, I don't blame Lukaku for that.
Yeah, you can't blame Lukaku for that.
Somebody tweeted this. They said, because Lautaro did not play well either. But they said, when Lautaro's kind of like that silent, stinky player, where... Lukaku is like loud, stinky player. Like when he's bad, everybody sees how bad he is. But Lautaro kind of like never does anything, but nobody really gives him much shit for it because it's kind of like under the radar how he's just bad. Like he had that one chance where he was like alone with Ederson, and I think he chose like the worst option. The best option was probably to pass it. The second best option was probably try to go for a nutmeg there because Ederson's kind of running out of his net to cover the angle. Then he just kind of tries to, like, curl it right in the middle of his chest almost. Like, he tried to get it, like, under his arm, I'm guessing. But I don't even know if that angle was going to allow the ball to go in. It was just a very poor choice. I thought he had to pass it there, to be honest. But then he didn't really do anything else. This guy was, like, the second highest goal contributions in the Serie A this season. And he was quiet as a whistle. I don't know if that's a saying. Quiet as an unused whistle.
Quiet as a whistle. Yes, yeah, it's the same. You know who else was quiet too? I thought Haaland had a quiet game for the most part. Like outside of his one chance,
he had the one chance that he should have scored. Besides that, he had a couple good runs, but
I think it was Serbi, it was Tony. I can't remember who. I think it was Darmian. The back three, like they've contained him pretty well for the most part of this game. They outside of that one chance.
I mean, City didn't get crazy chances.
Yeah, not really. They didn't really get crazy chances. Every chance they got, like. It was on frame, yes, but like Onana, it was very like Onana was there.
Yeah, Onana played really well.
Impressed, but not impressed. But I was because I mean I saw we know how good of a keeper he is, but in the big stage, he definitely showed up. Like I said, DeMarco probably had. I think DeMarco had a probably better chance than Lukaku. I want to say it almost.
I mean, I wouldn't say that. Lukaku's header, he's like 2 feet off the line, and all he has to do is get it on target, and you're aware that the goalkeeper isn't, and he chose like the one spot where Ederson was. Like, props to Ederson for keeping it out, but I feel like anybody could have kept it out at that point. Just the ball just hit him. You're too close. You don't really have time to react. And Lukaku put it right on him.
He did what he had to in terms of putting it on frame. After that, like, yes.
No, you got to put it on. You got to know where the goalkeeper is. Like, that's your job. Your job is to put the ball in the back of the net, not just get it on net. Especially from there, at that moment, too. I mean, you got to do better. You got to do better.
The stakes were too high at that moment. It's like, it's the one chance, because they didn't have a chance for like the last 5 minutes, and then you get that chance, and it's like, bro, what else? If we can't score that, it's like.
And you think if they score there, they equalize, and they're putting pressure on at that point. Like, they had the possession, they were getting chances, they were being dangerous near the box. Like, who knows if they could have got another one right after, but Lukaku misses that, and then we're just talking about them being so desperate at the end and not being able to convert anything, and it's GG, and City get their. Treble.
I just hope that we stop talking about Lukaku and Meg. That's. I mean, leave them alone now. It's over. It's past. I understand. It was funny for a week or two. Let's just move on.
We had Lukaku talk about, oh, he wants to be in the same conversation as those Harry Kane's, Lewandowski's. Like, oh, people don't usually talk about me there, but I know I'm there, blah, blah, blah. And man, just.
I would say until the last World Cup, he was up there.
I don't know about that.
I mean, 2018, he was still in sort of a good form.
I know, but it kind of just feels like, it's always kind of just feels random, you know? I don't know. Not, feels like the stuff he does, I feel like he doesn't create chances. I feel like he doesn't get you more than you're supposed to. Does that make sense? Like, if it's there, he can have it, but he's not creating something. He's not giving you more than you can. Than you can get. So I don't know. And the best strikers are those guys, the Harry Kanes, the Lewandowskis. They're scoring from places they're not supposed to be scoring from. They're getting you more than just what is expected. And I don't think Lukaku ever does that.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, too, there are also different styles of strikers. Harry Kane is more of a drop in slash like false nine almost type of striker. Lewandowski is more so closer to Lukaku. I just think he's just more of a better finisher. But yeah, I wouldn't say that before the Chelsea move, he was on top of his game. I want to say he was a top three, top five striker. And you could tell by the numbers.
I mean, you take Haaland, you take Harry Kane, you take Lewandowski, you take Benzema. That's already four. Lukaku was never better than any of those players.
Well, yeah. That's. I mean, he was in the top five in 20 before the Chelsea move, for sure. Then that Chelsea move kind of changed everything.
I don't know. Do you think he... Because he's going back to Chelsea, right? He was just on loan. What happens there? Do you think he stays there? I don't think he stays there.
I think he's going to stay. I think he's going to stay because Inter can't afford to pay the wages. I mean, unless Chelsea like reduces the price like considerably, which they probably won't.
They won't.
I don't see how he comes back to Inter, which is kind of... Well, I mean... Inter would need another striker to like pair with Lautaro because Dzeko can't play the entire season. I just don't think it's going to be Lukaku.
Were you surprised that Lukaku didn't start?
No, I wasn't surprised because we've seen this before tactically. Like, they'll play Lukaku 60 minutes in, usually in the second half, right after they've tired out the defense for a while and then like bring on, I guess, a faster striker than Dzeko. I mean, it didn't really work today, but usually they've done that before.
I mean, it should have worked. It should have worked. He had opportunities. He just didn't convert.
Yeah, he just didn't convert, which is like, it's a tough day as a striker, but like, he was in the right position at the right time. It just didn't happen.
It didn't happen on the biggest stage of his career, probably.
Well, congrats to City, though. Congrats to City. Treble. I think that's Pep's second treble. First for City.
He got his first with Barca. This is Pep's first Champions League in like 10 years, 11 years.
It was just kind of crazy to think about. But it kind of shows you how hard it is to actually get the trophy, too.
Yeah, most definitely. But then you see teams like, I mean, he lost it to Chelsea a couple years ago. That was a huge upset. The Chelsea couldn't have been there. And City were like the favorite for like the last 5 years.
Well, yeah, 5 years is. I mean, I think that's fair. I just wonder if they'll be able to. Well, I don't even know if we have to think about a repeat at this point. Like, you've had the one. It's cool. Congratulations. Do you put him? I mean, we talked about it a little bit before. Like, where does he go? Like, in the conversation of like one of the greatest managers of all
I
time?
mean, he's definitely either two or one. I think he's two. I think Sir Alex is forever gonna be the best. Just his resume and the when he did it and how he did it, the quality of players that he had. He had a team full of academy players native to Manchester that he brought to the top and won the biggest trophies in the world. Whereas Pep, incredible manager, has done it at three different teams, but he's done it at like three of the best teams in the world. And with spending billions of dollars, and we're not even mentioning all the let's just say like legal troubles that Manchester City have dealt with the last couple of years. Does that make sense?
That's fair. I guess if when you put it in that sense, you could see. I guess the financial aspect kind of plays a part into it. Zucker Stradlos didn't have that budget. But that's inflation, though. That's not on him. That's
I mean,
inflation.
it's not just inflation. It's in terms of like the comp. Like, if you compare it to the other teams in Europe, they're definitely spending the most.
True. I mean, if you can spend 50 mil for your whole back four, it's like. Yeah, you had. Yeah, I guess you have the kind of the luxury lifestyle, but you also have to produce. Like, you can have all the money you have, but if you don't have, if you can't produce on the field, which especially in the core critical moments.
I mean, he's in terms of amount spent, I think Grealish alone was worth more than all of Inter's starting 11.
Yeah, I think I saw something like that. I think I saw a post about that. You're right.
I mean, it just goes to show like the comparison, right? And Grealish doesn't even start every game. So, it's just different worlds.
Grealish, solid season from Grealish though on his part. Like, I know this game wasn't his best, but overall, like, I thought he's. I don't want to say he's justified the 100 mil because I don't think anybody's worth that, but he's definitely like shown a lot of improvement from year two, which I expected because year one is always, especially in a new system, it's never going to be an easy transition. But year two, I thought he did very well in many games. I thought he was a defending factor for different a lot of games. I mean. He took that left, I guess I want to say left wing back, but left wing position and just made it his own.
I like Grealish a lot. I mean, obviously it's tough when anybody gets that much, like gets sold for that much amount of money. The expectations are always sky high. But I rate him highly as a player. I would have been like really happy if Manchester United ended up getting him at the time. But clearly, like Pep wanted him for a reason and able to get the best out of him. Like they just have a really good squad, man. They have like five or six wingers that are all like starting caliber wingers that are like top talents in Europe. You think Gundogan is gone?
I wouldn't be surprised. I just don't know where he's gonna go.
Was kind of like the last dance for him, right? But he captained the team and he brought them to like the highest of highs this season. So he's a good player. I loved him at Dortmund. I think he wasn't always like the big presence on City's team, but as like we've seen some of the other players like leave, he's kind of like really taken a step and like been a leader for the team.
He's got improved. He improved pretty much on a year-to-year basis.
And he's had some clutch goals this season.
The Africa final one, that was a crazy one. 32 seconds in, that was crazy. I don't think he's gonna go to Saudi Arabia, but it wouldn't surprise me at this point because everybody's going to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate, isn't it?
Unfortunately, I don't know if it's an unfortunate thing, but it's definitely like an unusual thing.
Did you see Ronaldo didn't make the team of the year in the Saudi League?
He didn't make it?
No.
Oh wow.
I don't know what the deal is there, but he didn't make it and he was pissed.
Bro, nobody, the thing is, nobody's seen the games, right? We've only seen a couple goals he's had, but we haven't actually seen the actual games because you can't really. When are you gonna watch it? It's the other side of the world. Like, the time zone are completely different.
I mean, listen, there's only one reason why a player will go to Saudi, and it's for the money. It's just for the money. We've seen it in all these other sports as well. We saw it in golf, the whole LIV golf thing. You're going there because you want to get a bag different from any bag ever before. And Benzema's going. I'm not really surprised. I'm like, I feel like I wish I was surprised, but I'm not. Kante going kind of just feels like that's his last hurrah. Get a bag and that's it. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if other players went, but it kind of, now it's kind of like you have the choice between the MLS and Saudi. And if you go to Saudi, it's for the money. If you go to MLS, it's kind of just like, it's kind of just like
the lifestyle.
The lifestyle, but also kind of just like relevant. You're still trying to, it's like, it's not the retirement league, but it's kind of like, it has the vibe, you know? It's like the acceptable place to go play the remaining years of your career type of place, you know? Grow the game in the U.S.
Have you heard of this thing called the soccer tournament?
No.
It's a tournament that was happening in the States, I think a couple weeks ago. It was like a 7v7 tournament, which like with like a bunch of like amateur team and pro teams all like playing together and eventually to get to $1 million. So one of the teams was coached by Cesc Fabregas. And I was listening to this podcast. I think it was this report from The Athletic. I can't remember his name. That had was talking with him regarding like why I think he plays in like Serie B right now. And they were asking him why he never really could.
Fabregas?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I can't remember the name of the team, but I'm pretty sure he plays in Serie B or somewhere in second division. And they were asking him like why has he like had he ever considered the MLS? And he mentioned that he didn't want to have a challenge. This type of league at this age, just because of how hard it is, like physically on your body. And to me, like it kind of shows that players, I think, are starting to realize that MLS is not a cakewalk. Like you can't just come in and assume that you're gonna come in.
Yeah, the level of the league has definitely taken a step up.
Absolutely, and I mean, it just shows with the signings that they've been able to make in the last few years. But overall, the league have definitely massively improved, which is why I think that, like you said, if you're going to go to Saudis for the money, fair. But if you're going to go to the States for the, I guess you kind of have to go for money. Yeah, you're challenging yourself at this point as well.
New challenge at this point.
Last chance challenge before you, I guess, you retire. But, I mean, to be fair, like speaking about the Messi to Miami thing, what do you see? I mean, obviously it's a great signing, but in terms of the MLS, what do you think that puts them, or what do you think this means for them?
In terms of the MLS?
Yeah.
I mean, we already saw the impact that just Messi announcing that he was going to play there had. Like this team's Inter Miami overnight gained more followers than like all the American leagues besides the NBA already have. Like the Messi effect is insane. Like the season tickets sold out, everything sold out. They already made so much more money, and I think it's just gonna bring more eyes onto the MLS, which I think is a great thing, right? We want to grow the game here in North America. So having the greatest player of all time come to one of your markets here it'll do nothing but good for the game, especially if he like does really well, right? Which I'm expecting he will, but he's going to the team that's in last place, so you can only expect so much. But I think you can imagine other players are going to follow suit right now.
Yeah, that was my thought too, because as presently constructed, like Inter Miami is not a, I don't think they can make the playoffs.
They're one of the worst teams in the league, arguably the worst.
Yeah, they sacked Neville recently. I don't know if you saw.
Yeah, I saw. Unfortunate, right? Right before Messi goes.
Right before Messi goes. You know where he's going to now?
Wasn't he an assistant somewhere now?
Yeah, with who? You know who?
I forget. I thought you mentioned it. I'm just blowing my nose.
Canada.
Wait, Canada?
Yeah.
Why did I not remember that?
He's in the staff with John Herdman added to the staff.
That's kind of surprising, but I mean, he was David Beckham's boy, right? The owner of Inter Miami?
Yeah.
And who was the manager they're bringing in? Not confirmed, but
Tata. Well, I mean, it's not confirmed, but the main name is Tata Martino.
He was he with Chicago or DC? I forget.
Atlanta,
yeah.
I think he would be the right coach for the situation, just because obviously he knows Messi. He's played for Messi for like a few years with Barca and with Argentina, and also he knows the MLS.
Yeah, that's the big thing, I think.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was the guy that was named. But anyway, they have to do some signings, because even if you put Messi in this team, I still don't think they make the playoffs.
No, there's no way. The MLS is a competitive league, and the teams that have been good have been good for a while.
Yeah, and it's not like they're gonna come. He's gonna come in and like people aren't gonna like tackle him and stuff. Like they're gonna show him respect, but Like, they're not letting him run.
They're going to try to take selfies with him in the middle of the game, and then they're going to try to take the ball off of him.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, nobody's doing that. I saw Busquets and Alba. Obviously, Busquets and Alba kind of left Barca like recently, so they might be on the move.
Inter Miami going to be the Barca retirement team.
They're going to bring Busquets, Alba, Suarez, and even Dani Alves.
I can see Busquets for sure. Alba, I can see as well. The others, I'm not sure.
Suarez is in Brazil right now. I think he said no already. And then Dani Alves, I think he's also in Brazil, unless he retired. I'm pretty sure he's still in Brazil playing for Flamengo. He would be, if he actually shows up, if Dani Alves shows up, it kind of tells me what time it is.
Why?
Because, like, bro, the guy is like 40 playing fullback.
Yeah.
He's not going to last in MLS playing fullback at 40 years old. As fit as he is, as passionate as he is, you can't do that. Yeah, the body is big.
You can only do so much at that age. You can only run so fast and for so long.
I would be very surprised if it actually happens.
How old is Jordi Alba? Like 34?
I think he's got to be 35. I think I want to say 34, 35. Let me double check.
But yeah, I mean, I'm just going to be interested to see. I'm just going to be interested. Yeah, that's what I said. I'm just going to be interested to see who else they bring in and how the squad ends up looking. Because I think this is the time where Inter Miami are looking to take that step, right? They got Messi. Beckham has been waiting for this opportunity to really kind of just like make put the team on the map type of thing, you know?
Yeah. And they threw the bag at Messi too, by the way.
I mean, he didn't get as much money as he would get going to Saudi, but I think he's getting a lot of sponsorships and stuff. Like Adidas is giving him a cut of the profits. The MLS, I think, is giving him, or Apple TV is giving him a cut of the profits of everything they make.
Yeah, I think both are. Yeah, both are.
I mean, that's going to be a bag and a half because everybody's going to want to watch this now.
Yeah, but it's I guess you could say it's like a long-term bag. It is hard to like refuse a billion.
He doesn't need the money. He said he doesn't need the money. It's not about the money for him.
I wonder if he's going to show up. I mean, I know that he is probably going to lose tomorrow in Denver, but if there was a game 6 in Miami, I wonder if he would show up.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think that's his vibe. Messi's a family guy.
Yeah, he's a family guy. So, remind me. So, he's not playing this season. He's playing next season, right?
I think he said his first game is going to be in July.
So, this season.
It might be this season. But I thought he only signed for next season.
I think it was a two-year deal or three-year deal.
That's what I thought. But then I saw somebody say his first game is going to be against July, and the tickets are all like sold out like 5 minutes after the confirmation that he was going there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I saw too. So our goal for next year is land in Miami.
Yeah, we got to go watch a game.
You got to go watch a game. I know he's going to be there for it.
I mean, when they come to Montreal.
No, oh, it's going to be way too crowded. It's going to be way too crazy, my dude.
Bro, I live here. Yeah, you got to come.
You will know better than me.
It's going to be crowded anywhere, dude.
I mean, yeah, true, it will be crowded anywhere. But Montreal, like, come on, we've been to Impact games before, but CF Montreal's games before, and we know.
Yeah, not to see Messi.
Yeah, but that's exactly. Remember the crowd that was there? We didn't go there, but remember the crowd that was there when the PSG played here?
Yeah, I remember. I was there.
Imagine when Messi shows up.
I know, but there's going to be a crowd everywhere, dude. What you'd rather go to Miami? I mean, I'll go to Miami, obviously, but I mean, if he's coming to my hometown, I'm going to go watch.
I mean, I want to visit. I've never been to Miami before. It'd be cool to visit. I have family there, but I've never actually saw the actual state. I mean, the city, sorry.
Fun. It's a fun time. I wouldn't live there, but it's fun visiting.
Yeah, no, it's not a city to live in. It's a city to visit for like a week and leave. City of Vices, apparently. That's the nickname.
City of Vices. Let's talk some other transfers, though. I mean, Messi's obviously the big one, the news, but now that Benzema is confirmed going to Saudi, Madrid have an open spot up front. And I think everybody's got the one name that people are pointing there. And it's the name that United have been after for a while.
It's the most logical signing for Madrid to make.
I think he's going to have the option. It's going to be up to Harry Kane to choose if he wants to go to Manchester United or Real Madrid. I think these are probably the two, arguably the two biggest clubs in the world. So it's going to be up to him for what he prefers. If it's me, I still feel like he prefers United just because of, you know, he's English. He'd be playing for the biggest English team. He knows the league. He's been here for a while. He doesn't have to move across the world type of thing, you know? I feel like that's what his preference would be, but Real Madrid is obviously like a legendary club, and they're obviously at closer to success at the highest level than United is currently. So it's going to be up to him.
I think he is similar. His style is very similar to Benzema, which is why I think he would fit in well with Madrid.
He'd fit in for both teams.
He would fit well for both teams. I just feel like the fit is better for United, for Madrid, than it is for United. I just think also the fact that Mbappe is not leaving, as far as you know, he's not leaving PSG, is why they're going for Kane and not for Mbappe. Because, I mean, to be fair to him too, like, Mbappe is very similar to Vinicius in a way because of how they play. And I wonder if he would want to play central going forward. I don't know if it's something he wants to do because he's played Mbappe.
Or Mbappe, yeah, Mbappe for sure. I mean, he likes it on the wing too, but he can do it all.
But the thing is, you can't have him and Vinicius. I feel like they're way too similar in their game.
I don't think that would be a problem for Madrid. They'd make it work.
Yeah. But it depends if he wants to play central or not.
But I think, like, they could get a Harry Kane, and Harry Kane's almost 30, right? So, like, by the time Harry Kane leaves, he'll be ready for Mbappe to come.
Yeah. And I think it'll be, like, a 2-3-year contract instead, just to make sure that he gets enough time. I think he can play to at least 33 at Madrid at a high level.
Yeah, I think he probably gets 3 years no matter where he goes.
I don't know what he's going to choose, but Madrid is like, I mean, thing is, like, it's Madrid, bro. You're not going to have the opportunity.
If you were him, who would you choose?
If I was him?
You'd think that also, like, you know, you just saw Gareth Bale go to Madrid and kind of not have the support of the fans all the time. That's kind of like something that you can always risk going to, like, a team in Spain, like in Madrid.
But how many Champions League does he have?
Obviously, yeah, but I don't know, something about it.
He was making 17 million by barely playing. He's won a Champions League that same year. I think he has overall 2 or 3 Champions League themselves.
It's just the experience. Like, he never learned the language. Like, he kind of just felt like an outsider the whole time he was there.
That's the problem that a lot of people that play in foreign countries that aren't their own have. Like, Neymar still doesn't speak a word of French. Because he never spoke French. And that's an issue that hopefully Kane maybe learns from and rectifies. But even so,
I mean, it's tough. That's the thing. It's tough. And you're going to a place where kind of like, if stuff doesn't go well, these people are going to be on your ass. And that's like a thing I don't think he's been used to because Spurs have not been doing well, but it's never his fault, right? So going somewhere where he's going to be like in the big eyeball, where criticism, everybody's ready to give him criticism and not the good, like the polite kind a lot of the times. It's a lot to deal with. And I think seeing what Bale went through as like a quote-unquote, like, English footballer. Like, yeah, he's Welsh, but English? It's definitely something to consider, I think.
I mean, Jude Bellingham also signed for them, so obviously he didn't really care.
Nah, but that's different, because he's going from the Bundesliga, and he's super young.
Imagine going from Birmingham to Real Madrid in the span of, like...
Yep, crazy. I mean, this kid he's a fantastic footballer.
Special player. I can see... There's been a lot of comparison with him and Zidane. I don't know about that yet, but...
I don't see it.
I mean, Zidane can play all 3 midfield positions. I'm sure he could if he wanted to, but...
I think Bellingham is going to be, like, outstanding there.
It's a crowded midfielder, though, because now you have Bellingham, Tchouaméni, Camavinga, Kroos, and Modric.
You mean Camavinga, the left-back?
Well, the former left-back.
I think he's going to stay there. I don't know. But also, is Ancelotti staying?
Seems like it. There's no room. There's no, like... signs of him leaving. And they signed a left back, by the way. They also signed a left back. They signed 3 players. Madrid actually signed 3 players already.
For them, it's just a carousel of top talent coming in and out. Never. They'll always have the pick in the litter.
Yeah. But it's funny. It's funny because those players were coming back from, like, they were forming Madrid. Like, Brahim Diaz was formed in Madrid before going to, well, he went to City too. But he was originally from Madrid. He signed from Madrid. Then he went on loan to Milan. And then now he's back with Madrid. So those are players that you didn't know.
Did he do well in Milan? He was there when they won the league, no?
I don't think so. I can't remember.
He was in Milan when they won the league?
He won the league with Milan, for sure. I don't know if he won the league with Madrid.
What about, one of the other confirmed signings we have, Alexis McAllister to Liverpool. You like it?
I like it. I think it's a great signing for Liverpool. I think it's a good fit as well.
I feel like it's one of those that it's not flashy, but you're going to appreciate it when next season rolls around.
Yeah. Plus, the fees were apparently I didn't see the fee, but apparently it wasn't as high as people expected it to be.
I mean, he won the World Cup. That's the big deal, right? But
I mean, I have a Liverpool friend, a friend that's a Liverpool fan here, and he was ecstatic about the signing just because of the fit and also the need. Like Klopp needed. I mean, they need to revamp that midfield. They have to get rid of the Keita. Yeah. I think Keita already left, but I wouldn't be surprised if Milner should be leaving soon, too.
I mean, they have Fabinho, they have Henderson. Like, these guys are done.
Yeah. So, McAllister is the first.
They needed some midfield youth.
The question is now, is he the first of many signings? Because I don't know who comes next.
And he just had a great season with Brighton, too. So, and he won the World Cup.
Yeah, they usually spend... I mean, lately they've been spending wisely. Very wisely.
I think they'll make maybe one or two more. I don't know if Liverpool have that bag to throw at people. But the signings they make are usually good quality signings.
We have. But I want to talk about Mason Mount, because that's a name that's also been mentioned on Liverpool's side and also United side. It's looking as good. He's leaning towards United right now. So... What do you feel about that? Because you talk about this a couple times too.
Yeah, my initial thought was I wasn't super happy about it. He hasn't really had much success at Chelsea. He's kind of gone through slumps and good phases. So kind of just like not exciting to me. But the more I hear people talk about it, the more I'm open to it. I think especially if Ten Hag. That's the biggest thing for me. If Ten Hag wants him, then I'm happy. Because I feel like he definitely has Ten Hag has a plan, and I think if he wants a guy, he has a plan for him. He'll get the most out of him type of thing. That's kind of how I feel right now. And I know he's talented. He's English too. He's been in the league. So there's also that level of like comfortability and familiarity. So hopefully it's not a huge transition for him. But I feel like there's definitely a lot of upside. And if we can get the most out of him, then I'll be happy.
Yeah, I think he's, I mean, wherever he goes, whether it's United, Liverpool, it'll be an upgrade. But especially for United, I think.
I mean, we have Eriksen that's a little older. You know, Casemiro's not going to be there forever. And I think it just gives options. He can play as a 10. He can play on the wing. It gives us options to use our other players.
I guess he's never been, like, a solid winger. But, I mean, he's a midfielder. He could if you have.
He could play there. He's a midfielder for sure, but he's attacking midfielder rather than a defensive midfielder, obviously.
Yeah, he's a 10 or an 8.
The thing is, like, Bruno was obviously, I think, our best 10, and he's, like, integral for the success of our team. And I don't know if this means that Ten Hag wants to play Bruno on the wing, because he's done it in the past, but I feel like it's been more of, out of necessity rather than, like, want. And Bruno will play anywhere. But maybe this just gives us another option there. You can play two attacking midfielders with a Casemiro in the back. Yeah, not impossible. It gives us options.
I think 2-8 is the most. Yeah, I think 2-8 is the more likely system. Just because I don't think he would want to like put Bruno in uncomfortable places. Because Bruno as a winger also isn't really the best.
He can do well there, but that's obviously not his preference. I think he's an amazing 10.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to put him in,
he's great when he's the focal point of the offense.
If you want him to succeed, you gotta put him in the best position, and the best position for Bruno so far has been 10, or at least in the pivot of 2-8. And I would say the same thing about Mason Mount as well. So I would be surprised if they played together as like a two pivot eight and a six behind them. That seems the most likely if obviously Mason Mount comes to Green United.
To me, this is go ahead.
I was gonna say the same thing. It would probably be the same thing for Liverpool as well. In terms of the formation, he'd probably be in a pivot of 2-8 with Fabinho or Henderson behind him.
I think we've had games in the season where we're bringing on Scott McTominay when we're down a goal. And I think this is the perfect, like, bringing on Mason Mount is way more efficient in terms of, like, trying to get a goal than bringing on Scott McTominay, right? I think that's kind of where we're going to see the biggest change.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's an upgrade.
I still think we get Mason Mount, we get a striker. I know we're linked to that Serie A defender as well. Yeah, I didn't know much about him, but you told me he's been Serie A's one of the Serie A's best defenders over the last couple of years.
This year, because before that he was Fenerbahce, but this year he came into this league and just dominated.
He's already ready for a big move, you think?
I don't think so. I was kind of surprised that the United like link happened.
I mean, it's just rumors, right?
Yeah. But if I was him, I would have stayed for Napoli for another season. But if United is going to put 60 on you, I think, especially for Di Laurentiis, like, I don't think he's the type of manager that will say no to that.
Do you think there's a world where Harry Kane goes to Madrid and Man United get Osimhen and...
I don't think so. Not in the same window. That'd be too much.
Be a lot.
A lot. I mean, it's not the most unrealistic scenario. I just don't think that. I mean, I don't think Napoli would weaken themselves that much.
What if we throw the bag?
I guess they could. I mean, they've done a lot. Great job of scouting players recently. I mean, you can tell by the results. But I wonder if they'll have enough time to find a replacement for those two. Especially, I mean, they'll have the money, sure, but you still have to find a quality player. And yeah, I don't know. I don't think Osimhen is going to leave. If it was me, I don't think neither of them should leave, really. Because I think Napoli can still build on for what they did this season and also play. I mean, they'll have Champions League next year, right? So it's something to play for. Even though they won the league, which is kind of crazy to say. They won the league, but they could have been in the final. But yeah, I mean, if he comes to United, it's definitely not good for you guys, too. Because he's a solid defender.
I think we need three solid defenders, and now right now we have two. Because I think Harry Maguire is gone. I think we've already kind of spoken about it. I don't think he has a future here at the club.
I heard Spurs is interested, which is kind of odd to me.
You can go to Spurs. Spurs can have anybody. Anybody they want from us.
Did you see the new manager against Spurs?
Yeah.
Ange Postecoglou.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about it.
I saw a few of his highlights of his game with Celtics. They have a cool style of play. I mean, Celtics is always going to win the league, but the style of play was actually pretty efficient, pretty productive. I kind of like what he did there. So I'm curious to see what he brings to the league, the ideas that he brings, and also who he brings with him, because he's had a tendency of bringing a lot of J-League players with him at Celtics. I think he brought like 5 J-League players. I don't know if he'll do the same thing for Spurs, but I'm curious to see who he actually brings in as a for his, I guess, striker partnership, because he's going to lose Kane more than likely.
I mean, I guess we'll see.
Oh, and also announce, I need Arsenal to announce Declan Rice ASAP.
Nah, there's no way you guys are getting Declan Rice.
Bro, Declan is coming, bro. I'm telling you, Declan's on the way.
You guys cannot afford him.
Declan is on the way, boy. Just be ready when that happens. Just be ready. That's all I'm saying.
Nah, he'll go to a team that has more money to give him. He could go to United. He'd go to United before going to Arsenal, in my opinion. If he goes to Arsenal, I feel like a lot of teams missed out.
If Declan knows what's best for him.
Because I think he could go to City. I think he could go to United. I think he could go to Madrid. I think he could go to anywhere in Serie A.
The only team that I heard was interested in him was Bayern, outside of the Prem.
That's the team that I was about to say. And then I was kind of just like, I don't know if he would fit in Bayern. But probably.
I don't think they can afford him.
They don't really get many English players, thinking about it.
Bayern doesn't, I mean, they don't have, I've never heard of an English player playing for Bayern Munich.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if that's their thing. Did you see Fonzie has interest from Madrid?
Yeah, but it's probably not going to happen anytime soon.
I think he has 2 years left on his contract.
I think he'll go in the Prem in 2 years. Maybe in a year.
Man City?
Maybe not City. Well, City could be an option because their left back isn't great. Plus, the way that they play, he would fit. But
he could be a Luke Shaw replacement.
That's not a bad replacement for United. I don't see Madrid. I see Prem. Come to Arsenal, Fonzie.
I think he's mentioned it. He's not going to Arsenal, bro. I think he's mentioned it in the past that I don't think he's a City fan. But I'm not sure. I don't know, but like if you're from North America and you're kind of like our generation, I feel like nobody that's our generation a football fan is a Man City fan, because they were not relevant when we were growing up. And you already have your team at that point. You're not jumping ship to become a Man City fan, let me tell you.
I mean, it's not beyond anybody to jump ship, because there's a lot of bandwagon fans out there. But
I mean, like, I've been a United fan forever. You've been an Arsenal fan forever. We're 25, 26 years old. Like, Fonzie's in that generation. Like, Man City have only been at the top, like, for the last, like, 10 years, maybe. So, like, the timelines don't add up for people to have grown up a City fan our age. So you're either from the area or you became a football fan later in your life. And obviously Fonzie probably already has a favorite team. It's been a while. It's probably not Manchester City.
Yeah, I think he's 22 now, if I'm correct. I can't remember where, but I'm pretty sure he said Chelsea somewhere.
Let me see. I'm going to Google it.
I mean, to be fair, I had Chelsea. I had love for Chelsea as a kid, too. They had a couple of players that I liked a lot, so I wouldn't be surprised if it was them.
Oh, it's Chelsea, yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Makes sense, no. You can't hate on Chelsea at that time.
No, I mean, they were Chelsea were good. I mean, he's 23. I think he's 22. Almost 23.
I think, knowing the way that Chelsea are going, it seems like it's a match made. He could go to Chelsea. He can go. I think low key, I want to bet my money. He probably will, but I'm not a betting man, so I'm not gonna do it. But I wouldn't be surprised if that happened in not even 2 years. I'd say next year, because obviously they want to sell it before his contract runs out.
It's crazy how he got recruited from. He was playing in the MLS, no?
Yeah. Vancouver Whitecaps.
Dang, he went from like he used to play for Vancouver, right? Yeah. How the hell you go from Vancouver to Bayern Munich? It's crazy.
Yeah, man, the scouting network of Bayern was wide.
When he went to Bayern, he wasn't that guy yet, was he?
Well, not as a wing back, as a winger, yes. In MLS, he was obviously like you could tell that he was a step above a lot of players. Yeah, but I didn't think left back when I saw him. I thought left winger. Left back now makes a lot of sense considering how the way Bayern plays, because he's essentially wing.
Yeah, he's always involved in the attack, but he's fast enough to go up and then back down.
Yeah, your wing backs today have to be attacking. Like that's the name of the, that's the modern game. So you can't expect no production, especially offensively. You can't expect to have no production from your wing backs. They don't have to score goals, but they have to at least have a couple assists, or at least they have to be involved with the crosses and stuff. So,
I mean, we said often with players, they converting from left from wingers to fullbacks. It kind of feels like it's we've seen a couple players have done it and succeeded. I think of like Jesus Navas, Antonio Valencia. We've definitely seen it before. I mean, we're talking about the modern game. We got to talk about some eras, because Ibra retiring, and that's an end of an era. That's you kind of felt like he was just never gonna retire, just gonna play forever, just go from team to team, literally immortal in the game of football. Give me your thoughts on Ibra,
man. One of the best strikers in our era, I want to say. One of the top, probably top five. I can't really sure if I seen longevity of him is second to none. I think the goals that he scored, though.
The longevity of him really adds to it.
Some of the goals that he scored are, like, nobody would think of doing that at that moment. I think he might have the best, like, in terms of the, if you put his 10 goals against like any top strikers, he might have the craziest ones.
Besides Messi, yeah.
No, if you, I mean, even if you just think, if you just think of like nines, right? I don't see who has a better goal catalog. Like, if you count, like,
he has that like pizzazz, you know, that it factor where he can just score from anywhere, do anything.
Bro, I remember watching the scissor against England when he played for Sweden live. I was speechless. And even like recently when he played for,
I had to think about doing that at that place from that distance. That's what's so special about him.
And even the recent, when he went to LA Galaxy, the first game against LAFC, to think of doing that at that point.
It's like instinctual for him.
It was crazy. Yeah. And I remember too, like I mentioned the podcast that I was talking, that I listened to recently. They were talking about the Ibra retirement as well. And apparently, from that game, from what they were talking about, Ibra was talking to the assistant coach of the Galaxy at the time, and they've noticed how like the keeper, I think it was Tyler Miller at the time, was he was kind of like reaching on his line, like he was cheating a little bit. He was up his line way too much, and the fact that he thought about it, that means he had this in mind like before coming out of the pitch. And to execute it to that perfection, to that level, and like, bro, it was the goal of the season. In his first play, he had the goal of the season.
That's the thing with Ibra, though. Like, I feel like he has such a strong character, right? Everybody knows Ibra's personalities. It's Zlatan before anybody else. Very egocentric, but in a likable way. Obviously, there's going to be people that are not big fans, but I think he has that like likable personality too, and people forget that he's a master of the game, not just scoring goals for scoring goals, but he's like, this is his love, his passion, and one of the best ever.
Yeah, he's so unique, bro. He's so unique. Congrats on a great career for me, bro. But yeah, man, it's a big end of an era. It's a sign, bro. Like this, I don't think we'll ever see a striker like Ibra ever in this game.
Nah, nobody, not even personality wise, we're never gonna see that again. You can have that personality and deliver on it, you know?
Yeah, like this crazy. Yeah, it's hard to have both. Like, have that crazy personality and like deliver like he did.
Have like the super ego centric me, I'm the best ever, I can do whatever I want, and like usually people don't like people like that, but the fact that, you know, he has a sense of humor too and can back up the talk, it made him likable. I think end of an era, just like Eden Hazard, end of an era.
Hazard, bro, injuries, it sucks.
That's the main thing that you could say about Hazard, because when he was at Chelsea, he was arguably the best player in the world. Like, there was that time where he was considered, it was like him and a couple others at the time. But ever since he left Chelsea, it's never the same.
Apparently, he was never like, one thing about his time at Chelsea is, as great of as a player as he was, like, he was the best. I think you're right. He was, at some point, I think 2017, he's probably the best player in the world. They were saying, there's been a lot of talks about him not being like, I guess a professional in a sense. Like, he's just naturally good. Like, he doesn't train as hard as other players, but he can do better than any other players on the pitch. He can win you a game.
He was that kid that never studied for tests and always came back with like 100%.
Exactly, yeah. Like, he doesn't have to do the hardest trainings. He'll go on the pitch and like get you like a man of the match performance on a weekly basis. So imagine, maybe, I mean, the injuries happened, but I wonder if he like took care of his body more. Maybe that would avoid that. Well, I guess we'll never really know. But
do you think, because when he went to Madrid, it was kind of like past prime, right? It was like he was linked to Madrid for like 2 years, kind of missed the window, and then it was kind of like when his form kind of dipped. He wasn't like the same player, and that's when he left Chelsea to go to Madrid. It kind of felt like it was too late when it happened. Do you think if he would have left to Madrid the first time around that he was linked, his career kind of would have went differently? Because he was like a bust when he went to Madrid. Couldn't stay healthy, couldn't get on the field. And when he was on the field, like we saw him, like he gained weight, like people were making fun of him. Like, he became kind of like a meme. Never really hit the heights that he had ever hit.
He definitely could have left earlier. I think Chelsea didn't make that easy. I'm pretty sure that he wanted to leave earlier. But there's some things that you just can't control, right, on his part. So
happens to a lot of players. You don't get to move at the perfect time. Happened to Griezmann, too.
Exactly, Griezmann. We can name so many players that have had that situation. But I think that when he got the move, he didn't make the most of it, which is kind of fair to say. I think he could. Maybe did he train as much as he did at Chelsea? Perhaps not. I mean, I think it was Mikel that had on the podcast, Johnny B. Mikel said on the podcast that, like, he wasn't a good, like, on the pitch, you could tell, like, he was one of the best players ever. But he wasn't good in training. Like, he wasn't a good trainer. He doesn't prepare well and stuff like that. So the game came very naturally to him.
If you're not putting in the work, your time frame is not as long as people who are. Even if your talent is better.
Yeah, especially when I think he was already in his 30s, so it's harder to recover those type of those hits when the older you get. Like in the prime, you can do that because you can absorb the hits, and that's kind of how the way he plays as well. It's a style of play, like your shift, your turning, and I mean. You're in the prime of your life, but when you start turning 30, it's harder to do.
And not to mention like the lack of success with Belgium too, I think is a big factor.
Yeah, but I mean that's not just on him. That's a generation that should have won at least one trophy, and that's gonna have regrets. Well, not just Lukaku, but like even when you look at KDB, like they've had every.
I mean, they had their prime. They had the Axel Witsels. They had the Vesa Companies, Vertonghens, Alderweireld.
That team was stacked.
Never delivered. All right, we're wrapping it up. Yeah, it's like an hour. Nobody's listened to this.
Huh. That might be the longest podcast this year so far. Almost an hour. Boy, the editing is going to be a pain.
Episode 91 in the books. I can't believe our longest podcast is the podcast where I felt the worst. I hope you get. I muted myself a couple times while we were recording so I could blow my nose. I hope nobody ended up hearing that. Did you hear anything?
I heard something.
Really? No, you're just saying that because I brought it up.
Yeah. No, I'm serious. I heard it.
All right. Well, you can edit that out. If you made it this far, I'd be really surprised, but I really appreciate it. Make sure you drop us a follow on all the social medias so you're notified every time the episodes go live. So you can converse with the clips. On TikTok, we're blowing up. We're blowing up on TikTok. What's the TikTok at? Forward Press Pod? Forward underscore pressing? Either one of those two. Forward Press Pod. Drop us a follow. Link in the description. Drop us a follow on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok. And let's get busy. Let's get busy. That was the off season. We're gonna figure some stuff out because you're not gonna want to miss it. Yep. All right, friends. See you on the next one. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Peace.